Based on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Yeah, what you know about going out, head west, red legs, TVs, all up in the headrest. Try and live it up, ride jewel, pick a truck, peace all glittered up, stick a kid, nigga, what? Jig with a cut, sip crisp, spit it up, hoes ride, get your nut, till I can't get it up. I'm a big man, get this man room, I done hit everything from Cancun to Grand Tune. Why you stand on the wall, hand on your balls, lighting up drugs, always fighting in the club. I'm the reason they made the dress code, they figure I went wild when I'm in my fresh clothes. Dresses, I suppose, from my neck to my toes, neck full of gold, baguettes in my rolls, rec shows, collect those, extra O's. By the E, get a key to the Lex to hold, east, west, every state, come on, bury the hate. Millions, the only thing we in the hurry to make, whether from the ex-friend, intellects or bins, let's begin. Bring this BS to an end.
Come on.
Bad, 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 bad boy.
Yeah.
You make me feel so good.
Bad boy.
You know you make me feel so good.
Yeah.
You know you make me feel so good.
That's what we do.
Bad, 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 bad
Come on.
boy. I wouldn't change you if I could.
I wouldn't change you if I could.
I wouldn't change you if I could.
Come you can't understand, we be Waikiki, sipping DP to the TV, look greedy. Little kids see me way out in DC with a Z3 chrome BBs. They wanna be me. Niggas talking shit, they ought to quit. Unfortunate, they don't see a fourth what I get. And those be the same ones walking while I whip. Just started seeing cars cause they auction it. So while you daydream, mama say they gleam. And I deal with hoes that pose in Maybelline. One time you had it all, I ain't mad at y'all. Now give me the catalog, I show y'all daddy ball.
That's right.
Six cars in power to fire big stars. Up CEO style, smoking on cigars, nigga. It's like y'all be talking funny. I don't understand language of people with short money.
Come on now.
Bad, 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 bad boy.
Yeah.
You make me feel so good.
Come on.
You know you make me feel so good. You know you make me feel so good.
That's what we do.
Bad, 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 bad
yeah.
boy. I wouldn't change you if I could.
I wouldn't change you if I could.
Come on.
I wouldn't change you if I could.
Yeah. Do Mays got the ladies?
Yeah, yeah.
Do Puff drive Mercedes?
Yeah, yeah.
Take hits from the 80s, but do it sound so crazy? For me personally, it's nothing personal. I do what work for me, you do what work for you. And I dress with what I was blessed with. Never been arrested for nothing domestic. And I chill the way you met me. With a jet ski, a tattoo, a SC. Smoke my Nestle. No mad rap, ass cat, where my check be? Problem with y'all, I said directly.
That's right.
Went from hard to sweet, starved to eat. From no holy shows to menage a suite.
Yeah.
Now I be the cat that be hard to meet. Getting head from girls that used to hardly speak.
Come on.
Yeah. Boy, you make me feel so good.
Uh-huh.
You know you make me feel so good. You know
bad
you make
boy.
Me feel so good.
That's what we do.
Bad, 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 bad boy. I wouldn't change you if I could.
I wouldn't change you if I could.
Come on.
I wouldn't change you if I could.
Let's go.
Bad, 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 bad
yeah.
boy. You make me feel so good.
Uh-huh.
You know you make me feel so good. You know you make me feel so good.
Come on.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We normally do this on Thursday, but today is not Thursday. It's Friday. September 15th. Damn, I'm looking right at the date, and I can tell you that I have never been more confused than today looking at it, because in Canada, they put the day first. Then the date, and, you know, it's early in the morning, 7 a.m., thinking, what month is the 15th? But we're here. If you never listened to the show, it is Off the Beaten Path. I am your host, Issa Arian. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus. And if you never listened to the show, welcome. This is normally Canada Land's spot. However, yesterday, couldn't make it, and I desperately wanted to come and share some news with you all this week. So, if you never listened to the show, what we do here is we talk a little bit about some local news here in the Lower Mainland. We talk about some national news. Then we sometimes get to some American news. I'll bring you some funny stories. We occasionally have some interviews in here of some smart people, some industry leaders, some experts, or just my friends who happen to be smart and industry experts and just really, really interesting people. We like to bring you some good music. And we like to make you laugh and have you go in your weekend a bit more knowledgeable about some of the things that are going on in and around the world. So, we always like to start with the weather. Like last week, it's been getting to that time here in Vancouver where everything and every day is partially cloudy and rainy. There was a stretch there, particularly right before the wildfires were happening in Washington and the wildfires in BC, where we were getting sunny day after sunny day after sunny day. And it was to the point where people here were complaining about it was too hot. However, we will hear none of those annoying complaints any longer because today is the only sunny day of the weekend. Yesterday was beautiful, but for the next 9 days, starting tomorrow, we're partially cloudy with a chance of rain. Sunday, 90% chance of rain. Monday, 90% chance of rain. Tuesday, 90% chance of rain. So, you guys get the point. If you didn't visit someone who lives in, if you're listening from outside of the mainland and you didn't visit someone in Vancouver over the summertime and you're asking them, hey, Issa, when's a good time to come visit? Well, you missed it. You missed the good times to come visit. Now you have to wait until next year. And who knows what will happen to our relationship by that time. Because you didn't put in the time to maintain it. Missed opportunities. We're going to talk a lot here today. We're talking about the mumps. We're going to be talking about pot. Talking a little bit about a topic which comes up often, racism, and we'll just be talking about a lot of things. If you have a topic you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. Let's get into it. So, you know, we like to start off with learning a little bit about Vancouver news. And there is an outbreak in the case of the mumps. So, I don't know if you knew. Last year, I think Sidney Crosby got the mumps. But here in Vancouver, there's an outbreak. Now, I am not a doctor, nor do I pretend to be one. However, I hear the mumps, and I'm like, yo, that sounds terrible. And I'm sure that there are things that sound equally as bad or are equally as bad. But I feel like telling somebody you got the mumps, That's not what's up. However, it's been over 100 cases of the mumps since May been reported here. So be careful if you like to go in the bar and black out and perhaps make out with some. Maybe you like people with little, you know, chubbier chins. Just be careful because it's potentially that they could have the mumps. The only time I've ever heard of the mumps referred to anything good was in. I don't know if you guys ever seen the Mac, but if you haven't seen the Mac, you need to go check out the Mac. Maybe your pockets might look like they have the mumps, but other than that, can be good. I just feel that if there are, like, I don't know if there's a medical condition that, like, sounds good to have, you know, like, the one that's like, ooh. You know, it sounds like a new bag or something like that. You know, like a new designer. Like I feel like anything that's like none of them are good. You shouldn't be concerned because you can get vaccinated for the mumps, or I believe that it's easily curable. I would hope so. And if you are, you know, listening to the show, and you perhaps are into hockey players, be careful because some of your beloved Vancouver Canucks have the mumps. So, moving on. A good thing. So, we talk about a lot about, you know, here in BC, there's not very many issues. The issues priority, probably, if you've heard, listened to the show before, you hear a lot about the housing situation, which we'll get to, and you hear a lot about homelessness. Well, you will be happy to know that your British Columbian tax dollars are going to doing real police work. So earlier this month, in September 1st, there were 9 overdoses in 20 minutes. So in like 9 different areas. So what they did, they traced this back to some fentanyl-laced cocaine. So if you are listening to this radio show at 7 a.m., which, listen, I don't do cocaine, so, but I'm pretty confident in saying I feel like people who do coke aren't up at 7, or maybe they're still up from last night. But if you're still up, then you should definitely be listening to this because you might find some useful information about how it could save your life, because there was 9 overdoses in 20 minutes, and luckily all of those people survived because they called for help and were able to be helped by the authorities. But the good part, there was an arrest made, and so the guy who sold this fentanyl-laced coke was arrested. And hopefully he'll be charged and off of the streets. Because, you know, like, while we here on Off the Beaten Path are not a, you know, we're not the police, and I'm not gonna shame people for what they like to do in their free time. If they like to partake in some recreational, recreational medication, however, you know, whatever feeling that they're trying to get to or run away from, you know, whatever, it's on you. But what we can't have is we can't have fentanyl and everything. Like, I've never understood the idea of fentanyl. I mean, I understand it, I guess, economically, with the idea that people are trying to stretch their drugs as far as possible so that they can sell more drugs. However, I feel like if your business model is set up in a way to kill your clients, you're thinking in the short term. Like, you're not thinking in the long term interest of your investors, which is to keep your customers alive and buying from you for as long as possible, increasing their customer lifetime value. Killing them eliminates customers, and not only eliminates customers, but it makes new customers weary of coming to try your product. I feel that maybe there might be consulting a job for someone who thinks about those types of things. However, not here. So if you're listening to this and you maybe might need a consultant, we can point you in the right direction. Wait a minute. That didn't sound right. Listen, we here do not support that type of behavior here on Off the Beaten Path. Moving on, before I say something that gets myself in trouble on air. We were going to talk about affordable housing. And so if you live in Vancouver and you want to make sure that your representative is representing you in the way that best suits your needs, you can take a look at the CBC website. On the CBC website, they have a it's a pretty well done grid where it talks about how the median of a household in Vancouver from the last election in 2014 from the west side was 2.6 million, and now in 2017 it's already up to 3.6 million. And in East Van, it's only gone up from 960,000 to 1.5 million. I say only because, you know, a $600,000 increase is not nearly as much as the $1 million increase that was in West Vancouver West. And so you can find out about, like, Vision MPA, the Green Party, the Cope Party, and Sensible Vancouver, all of their plans to try to make Vancouver housing more affordable for people. And as they talk about making Vancouver housing more affordable for people, you know, as you drive over the Granville Bridge, you are constantly reminded just like how impoverished you are, because there's a building that's going to be completed. Well, it's a really cool building as it goes from like a triangle at the bottom to a square at the top. And it would be cool, I guess, for me, be a little more cool if I like had an idea that I would ever see one of those suites inside. The suites are going now for $3,100 a square foot. So I don't know if you can do the math, but if you live in a bachelor, let's say if you live in a bachelor, that's maybe 550 square feet. So that comes out to $1.7 million. And in my opinion, if you have $1.7 million to spend on a studio apartment and you decide to live in said studio apartment, you might be one of the worst people of all time. We're going to get back to a little bit of music. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about is America, is racism as American as baseball?
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts around Commercial Drive and beyond at Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studio, Bomber Brewing, Storm Crow Tavern, People's Co-op Bookstore, Mintage, High Life Records and Music, Bone Rattle Music Limited, JQ Clothing Limited, The Rio Theater, the Vancouver Music Gallery, North Van, and Tapestry Music Limited in White Rock.
What would we do without our friends?
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
I own my media.
I own my media.
I own my media.
I own my
media. I own my media.
The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
Having some technical difficulties. I'm trying to figure it out for you guys. In the meantime, I lied. We weren't. I lied. We weren't going to talk about baseball just yet. I know that we talked about this a long time ago. In Canada, they are trying to make marijuana legal by Canada Day, July 1st, 2018. And so the provincial government has been running into some difficulties, really trying to figure out exactly, you know, how they want to do that. However, the schedule seems to be on point, and while tight and while they're having a hard time, each province is moving forward on their own without the help of the federal government. And if you've been thinking about, like, maybe when would be a good time, Canada Day 2018 sounds like it could be a party. However, if that's the only reason why you want to visit someone in Canada, maybe you should reevaluate your friendships. And maybe if you're the one living in Canada, you should reevaluate them first. If you listen, there's a lot of stuff going on in America. And if you're like me, you, I don't know, I didn't like flee. I mean, I came here before everything, before anybody knew what was going to happen. I was here. The timing was impeccable, and it was just like pretty good timing. You know, I was able to come here and go to school and able to like do all the things I like to do. It's a great place, and if you're a teacher, you should. I mean, it's not good, but British Columbia is down about 400 teachers, and they need to fill those spots because school started last week. Now, while there might be lots of spots, I feel like we should never have a shortage of teachers. Like, how can we not drum up enough demand for a teaching? Like, teaching as a profession, like, why do we put other professions on such a high pedestal, but teachers so low that we don't even have enough to service the children that we have in our society, the children that we desperately need to be taught. Like, we put, this is not just, I don't think this is a Canadian problem, but like, this is America. We have a teacher shortage, I feel like, everywhere. I feel like there's never been a teacher surplus. Because if there was a teacher surplus, you would see bad teachers out of jobs. However, everybody's at least had a bad teacher, and everybody knows some bad teachers, and bad teachers still teaching. But how can we, like, how can we not entice not just more people, but like just as, but better people to be teachers? We need to figure that out. I feel like that should be the, like, number one crisis. Like, I care more about finding good teachers for kids, even though I don't have any kids, than I do about, deportation, you know, deporting people who, you know, are providing economic, like, growth. Like, I don't even think about it as economic growth, but just people here who are having kids who need to be taught, who can potentially, maybe save your life one day. You know, maybe they might invent something that you might like to buy. Maybe they might, you know, chef up something at your favorite restaurant. But if we don't have teachers and we leave classrooms overcrowded, not only does it affect, it affects all of the kids negatively, not just the kids who are in the classes, you know, that are overcrowded, or the kids who are having, Spanish teachers teaching math, and no offense to Spanish teachers, but the ones that I had could barely teach me Spanish, so I don't know how I would trust them to teach math. We're going to get into this. So there was a West Vancouver kid who was pulled over doing 177 in the 90 kilometer per hour zone, and while he had his ENDS, well, in here in Canada, when you have a new license, there's like a sticker that goes next to your license that says N for new driver. And on the side of his car, he said he has a bumper sticker that says, no airbags, we die like real men. Now, no airbags, we die like real men. Now, what is this notion of a real man who dies without an airbag? Like, I have had the privilege this week to just be discussing masculinity and what does that mean? Mostly masculinity and the relationship from men to other men. And it's like some of the issues that men are having connecting. And, you know, when I see stuff like this, you know, like remnants of, like, anytime I hear somebody say, this is what a real man, like, it's never actually a real man. Like, listen, I don't think that there is anyone who thinks not having an airbag is smart. Like, so what this says, real man is stupid. And I'm a real man. I don't want to die without an airbag. Like, at least give me a shot. First off, I don't drive fast. I feel like one of the most satisfying feelings is when you see someone who pulls off from, you know, let's say the green light, and they're driving and they're weaving through traffic, and you're just like, you know, standing in the same lane, going like 5 to 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, and then you pull up at like a red light like 3 lights later, and you guys are right next to each other, and you just know that that person has burnt so much gas and energy and effort, and they're angry because when you pull up next to them, you're like, all that other shit was unnecessary. So we'll be getting into some more discussions on like real men from some comments from Floyd Mayweather later. But now I think I got the music working and I think you want to hear it.
DJ Carnage time, Thugger, you know what I'm saying? Thugger sign, DJ Carnage, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, nigga? Giddy. I got the bottle, it's in the pot, and I don't even pour it up. We pull in the farm, we walk through the club, and the bitches ignoring us. Then for them niggas that hated on me, and they drinking and rolling to us. I had a baby at 15 and ever since then, I've been growing up. Tell, you the homie. If you the tail, then you the homie. If you got bad, then you the homie. If you not stale, then you be homie. Grew up a criminal, scandalous. Rockin' Chanel, then you the bitch. I got me a burger like I'm a bitch. These niggas, they tellin' they counterfeit. Put that football on the newspaper. In the sea with some turn, strike to his ankle. Fuck nigga, try me in any angle. I'ma shoot him and turn him into an angel. Why you gon' turn him into an angel? Fuck yeah, turn him to an angel. Don't come around with the angle. You know everybody having bangles. If a pussy nigga play with me, swear to God, Kirk Franklin can't save him. I can get you wet real easy. You're not a Power Ranger, you're a stranger. Pussy nigga, you're no danger. Gangsta bitch with me, she'll spank you. Swear to God, all I gotta do is point one finger. She a close ranger. Drank and test a nigga, slut, die. R.I.P. the truth, pour it out. They want me dead, but I can't ever die. They living false, but I can never lie. Mom, baby, I got time. I want chicken wings on the side. You got higher dreams when you fly. Until then, you're never near the sky.
I got the bottle of ace in the pot, and I don't even pour it up. We pull in the farm, we walk through the club, and the bitches ignoring us. Then for them niggas that hated on me, and they drinking and rolling to us. I had a baby at 15 and ever since then, I've been growing up. Tell, you the homie. If you the tail, then you the homie. If you got bad, then you the homie. If you not stale, then you be homie. Grew up a criminal, scandalous. Rockin' Chanel, then you the bitch. I got me a burger like I'm a bitch. These niggas, they tellin' they counterfeit.
You was the plug, then you the homie. You never tell, then you the homie. You know it's nothing but shooters on me. Them niggas now I'm moving on me. I keep a Mac and a Louis bag. Look like I got a computer on me. I'ma get back at your stupid ass. We gon' whack it better than sooner on me. I be fucking your Wednesday crush. I'm with that bitch and she drooling on me. All of that shit be made up. I'm popping and making the rumors on me. She gon' jump on this damn maneuver on me. I'ma cut her a check and she do it for me. Even though my little bitches be used to money. Just like J&B daughter, I blew the money, nigga. Whoa.
I'm trying to dodge all that rainy weather. This an A-passing jet, this is not propeller. I'm a big dog, got my dogs with me, German Shepherd. Yeah, I'm rich kid, but I'm so ready to pop your Whitney. Can't let you go, I said, I take and I let you dig it.
I got the bottle of ace in the pot, and I don't even pour it up. We pull in the farm, we walk through the club, and the bitches ignoring us.
Then for them niggas that hated on me and they drinking and rolling to us. I had a baby at 15 and ever since then I've been growing up. Tell, you the homie. If you the tail, then you the homie. If you got bad, then you the homie. If you not stale, then you the homie. Grew up with criminal scandalous. Rockin' Chanel, then you the bitch. I got me a burger like I'm a bitch. These niggas, they tellin' they counterfeit.
Yeah. I got a motherfucking $10,000 toe ring on, know what I'm saying? With some motherfucking Giuseppe Sandals on, bitch.
Yo, you back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's community radio station. And that was Young Thug, Homie. So we're talking about real men, and I feel like, you know, when hip-hop is like, has historically been very hyper-masculine, like, where you know, it's in this, it's almost still stuck in this like wave of this like hyper masculine, patriarchal, very, very combative, art form where you got Young Thug who really, even within his music, you know, he sets these traditional masculine tropes, you know, on the head, he particularly in that song. I didn't even realize it. I just knew that song was fire. I wanted to play it. And he's talking about, yeah, I got a Birkin bag. Like, that's a purse if you don't know what that is. And he's got tattoos on his toes and a toe ring. But I feel like Young Thug might still shoot you, you know? And like, not I'm saying like real men shoot people. However, like the traditional tropes of masculinity, like not carrying a purse, like worrying about wondering if people think that you are gay or not. You know, as it becomes a little bit more blended, I feel like this is the direction we're going to see. We're going to see some people, particularly, I mean, we've seen it in real life, like, you know, men who are very comfortable with, you know, within their masculinity, comfortable within their manliness, you know, who have friends that are girls and who are, you know, who are having, who are like combining these like traditional feminine, you know, I guess characteristics with their traditional masculine characteristics. And it's like, I'm not saying Young Thug is some pioneer or he's some great, like role model, great person. However, there is definitely lots of room for men to, you take like the best parts of both, because women have been having to do this, particularly when they enter lots of male spaces. They've had to adopt these male or these traditional masculine characteristics so that they can just survive in these places where you know, they've been dominated by men. But men have not done a great job of taking like the strength, the strong parts of their masculinity, and being able to combine them with, you know, with the skills that they lack, you know, such as communication and opening and being open with their feelings, being a little bit vulnerable, you know, and taking a few risks, not just like physically. Like, men are very comfortable taking physical risks, like this individual who says real men die, like no airbags, die like real men. Like, no, men have no problem taking, you know, dumb, stupid physical risks. Very, very scared of being exposed. Very scared of being, like, emotionally exposed. Speaking of, like, real men. So, not that, listen, we talked about this a little bit before the fight, about Floyd Mayweather. I think I talked about how I wanted him to win, or maybe I said I wanted them both to lose. I wanted the fight to be good. The fight was decent, I guess. If you had an understanding of what it was before you went into it, I feel like you didn't come out disappointed, which is a lot. There will be a really good fight, Triple G versus Canelo this weekend. I feel like that is a real boxing match. I feel if you like those type of aggressive boxers, that'll be a good fight. But talking about Floyd Mayweather, I don't think that him beating Conor McGregor for like a $300 million payday, which, you know, made fans of people. I don't think that people were ever fans of Mayweather. I mean, of course there are some Mayweather fans, but I feel like most people were just rooting against Conor, or people, Conor McGregor, were rooting against Floyd. I feel pretty confident saying that it was a pretty drawn along racial lines, or if you liked winners and you knew Floyd was going to win and you liked money, then you were going to bet on him. However, he has returned to his, you know, despicable form. And I don't know when he made these comments, but I saw on Twitter, Floyd Mayweather said, "People don't like the truth. He, as in Donald Trump, speaks like a real man spoke. Real men speak like, man, she had a fat ass. You see her ass? I had to squeeze it. I had to grab it." Right? So he's talking locker room talk. I'm the man. You know what I'm saying? You know who I am. Yeah, I grabbed it. Yeah, and? Like, so I saw on Twitter that someone said, "Can't believe what Floyd said. I lost all respect for him." What? Oh, man, you know, like that meme where the dude and his eyes are just blinking, like what? First off, like, I understand why this is a big deal, or I don't understand why it's a big deal. It's Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, not only does he get punched in the head for a living, but he beat his baby mama, his kid's mother, in front of his kids. So why do, like, who keeps putting a microphone in front of his face and asking him to make coherent, you know, and asking him to say things that make sense? I know that people praise him when discussing Conor McGregor and some of the racist comments that he made. However, I feel like that was more like a broken clock is right twice a day thing than it was, oh, maybe Mayweather's not as dumb as we thought. Like, never did I get that impression that Mayweather has been, like, playing us for a fool. I watched a documentary on Floyd Mayweather, and I realized that, man, I don't think this dude has gone to school ever. Because you watch it, you're talking about how he talks a lot about how his focus was on boxing. His focus has been on boxing his whole life. Never once did he talk about what high school he went to, what elementary school he went to. So I don't really expect very much from him, very much from this guy, except for lewd comments like this, like supporting the president of the United States, who once said he would grab women by the pussy, and because I'm a star, they're just going to take it. Like, these are all these common tropes of masculinity that need to die. Like, I'm very charged up about it this week because I've had the very fortunate opportunity to talk to some really, really smart people who know about lots of these things. And it's just kind of sad that we, one, are still shocked by this stuff, and two, we, like, let it go unfettered. Getting into some a little bit more about some of the things that have gone on this week. So, if you haven't noticed, first off, some of my Cleveland friends wanted me to acknowledge that, you know, Cleveland Indians have won 22 straight games, and I used to live in Cleveland for about 4.5 years, and it was a great place while I lived there. I mean, I'm sure it's still a great place now, but I don't live there anymore. So, like, if Cleveland, like, whatever. They won 22 straight games. Pretty cool. I think it's only happened, like, twice. Two other times. You know, I think the high is 24, and they have a chance to break the record. So good for them. I'm like, people in Cleveland, they need all the wins they can get. There was just a Cleveland police officer arrested, and he pled guilty for using sex toys on women at traffic stops. This is also the same Cleveland where just days after the police shot a 12-year-old boy, they held a Blue Lives Matter rally on the town square where 5,000 people and police officers showed up. So, you know, Cleveland needs all the sportsmen they can get to forget about that type of stuff. So, if you don't know, Jemele Hill is a anchor on ESPN. She does a show called The Six, which replaces the traditional Sports Center. She has Michael Smith as her co-host. And people from ESPN, I feel like, are increasingly increasingly speaking their mind. And, like, not only just their mind on sports, but, you know, have really incorporated politics into, like, their personalities. Like, they're letting a little bit more of their personality show. And I like it, particularly because a lot of them say the same things I say. Even, like, they have Will Cain, who is – I would say a lot of them say things I say. However, I only listen to the ones who say the things that I like. So I don't hear many like, other opinions coming out of ESPN. And this over this past week, there's been a firestorm as Jemele Hill – was tweeting about Chris Rock and how he panders to racists, and then called Donald Trump a white supremacist and says he surrounds himself with white supremacists, and the White House called for her to be fired, said it's a fireable offense. Now, there's so many things that really confuse me about why people are so mad. Like, they're was also a story this week where at Fenway Park in Boston, some fans unfurled a sign in the middle of the game that said racism is as American as baseball. And they got kicked out of the game. So, like, when is it okay to call things as they are? I feel like if you don't want to be like, when did it stop being okay to when did it become worse to call someone a racist than it was to be racist? Like, people, you call someone a racist and people get mad. They get mad in their feelings. They tell you how that's racist, how labeling them a racist is bad, and how it's like the worst thing that you could do. And all of these things. But when someone says something racist or does something racist, it's just like, well, you know, it's just different opinions. Like, when did racism become differing opinions? Like, when did humanity become up for debate? Like, when did it become, you know, these illegal aliens, you know, these black people, these, you know, whoever, you know, need to go. They are bad. They are inferior. We have had racist rallies where you can't call the people racist. Like, you can't call someone racist if they're waving a Confederate flag because they tell you that you don't know if it's heritage or hate. Now, that doesn't make any sense. However, but so back to Jemele Hill. So she was, you know, she had, they had called for her firing, and even ESPN had tried to replace her on air with other black anchors. Like, they just thought they were going to get some other black dude or woman to just come on air and just sell Jemele Hill out. And just, luckily, like, I'm happy that, like, those people said, no, we're not, you know, we're going to stand with Jemele Hill, which was the right move. And then ESPN just put it on air and then really nothing has happened. Like, Jemele Hill issued a not even apology, which I don't think, because I don't think she should have apologized. Donald Trump called for an apology, and F that. Like, if you don't want to be called a racist, don't like denounce. If you want to be, if you don't want to be called a racist, the easiest thing to do is when you get an opportunity to denounce racism and other like very, very blatant racist, then you take that opportunity. But if you even question, if it even goes into your mind that you have to think about denouncing racist, then you are not only racist, but you are contributing to this system of racism that we have. And people should think about that, because what does it mean when you can't, what does it mean, like, what does it do to us, like, as a people? How do we move forward if you can't even call something racist when it clearly is? I mean, it seems to be that, like, the word racism, one, is used incorrectly so many times. I feel like people get so caught up in the idea of calling individual people racist that we can really never really get to, you know, what is actually going on behind, and like what racism is means. It's you know how it's systematic. We get so caught up in calling, you know, Debbie from the you know, clerk's office, you know, a racist. Like, where, yeah, she's got like this little power, but really, you know, it's the court system and the things that go into maintaining that structure that are the real issues and the real problems. So calling, you know, Debbie racist and getting her fired and having them replace her with someone who's equally, you know, as racist, probably a little charged up that Debbie got fired, and you know, and the cycle continues, and then we have to wait for that person to be identified as a racist before we can get them kicked off. Like, instead of making these type of reforms where, you know, where the change is needed. So when we see like a sign, like the one that got thrown down at Fenway Park, that America is as, I mean, racism is as American as baseball, and we realize that actually racism might be more American than baseball, you know, then that's when we really need to take a look at how those things can be changed. Now, I really, I thought it was their statement that they made. So one of the protesters emailed a statement to some news organizations. It says, "We are a group of white anti-racist protesters. We want to remind everyone that baseball is fundamental to American culture and history, so too is racism." And, I mean, they're not lying. And when you think about, like, I mean, we've talked a lot about Colin Kaepernick here on the show, and, you know, we're going into week two of the NFL season, and I mean, I feel like it's pretty clear that Colin Kaepernick probably will never play probably will never play football again. And it's I would say it's more sad for me watching the situation and watching that one, isn't it? Because while we talk about how sports can be used as a way to bring people together and to like educate and like create this like better world, what we're seeing is that not only are people ignoring the people making the message, but they're ignoring the message in general and really turning it on to how are they offended. Like, we talked a lot about, like, particularly like racist people, you know, trot out this idea that minorities and people who are oppressed like play this victim role, you know, as if being a victim is the role that people, you know, is like the role that we want to inhabit. And but it's very interesting that whenever we talk, you know, whenever we bring out You know, like racism comes up, or we see these blatant examples of racism, and or when racism is just being called out in general. Like Colin Kaepernick, he didn't call out specific people. He wasn't. I mean, he has called out specific people. Like this sign didn't call out specific people, and Jemele Hill called out Donald Trump and his cronies. You know, like, but it's more like the system and more of the group. You know, we often see like that they become they fill this role where they start talking in a way that they're a victim of being like they're a victim of something. And when racists become quote unquote the victim, and we become and we as a society take sympathy to that, like we, you know, like pander to the idea that we can't offend racists anymore. I feel like then we are really losing. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about some Silicon Valley startup that is going to try to put the vending machine out of business.
Opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Slow forgetting, quick repeating, answer seeking like Punjabis in the house. Firm decisions came from instances of doubt. I mean, what this all about? Friend or foe, foe to friend, so it go. Evil or I got my hand out to extend. Ask for handouts, I don't lend. I've been there for lots of people when they need you. They around when time they equal, they depart. I take that straight to my heart. Contemplated thinking everyone's the same, but in the end, that only changes who you are. As for I will remain. I'm the sum of my past and my present. What's to come won't make me run. I take my pleasure with my pain. Take some hurt to make a mark. Only difference from a stain is how you see it. I just work to turn my blemishes to art. If you never had a dream, you know what happens. Start collapsing in your passion. Keep you building while you're cracking. Well, my friend, you never live. Well, my friend, you never live. If you never love somebody, and with time you start to hate them, then with time you realize you can't replace them. Well, my friend, you never live. Well, my friend, you never live. I remember when I first felt that feeling of rejection. I was waiting on the answer. She was out of the question. Then I bagged another batter that sang out of my league. She came out of that retirement to bad. Best believe before social, I was hopeful based on nothing but my vocals. What's a crutch? Break a leg. Wish me luck. Yes, indeed. I took knocks to confidence to build this monument to dreams. Now I laugh at the path I thought I never would achieve. Cause now all I do is travel when I never thought I'd leave. It's a trip. Left my past. Baggage checking. Extra bags. Manifested with a lie. Yeah, we collab. Every day I count my
my blessings. Stress, I don't forget to add. Though I tried, I learned I can't just take the good without the bad. Simple math, and next fall I won't ignore and skip a class. In attendance with remembrance, I'ma end this as a grad. At the top, I won't forget all of the drops that took the past. Life ain't perfect, but it's worth it. I don't have to check the tag, fill my bag. If you never had a thing, and though what happened, stop collapsing. And your passion, keep you building while you're cracking. Well, my friend, you never live. Well, my friend, you never live. If you never love somebody, and with time you start to hate them, then with time you realize you can't replace them. Well, my friend, you never live. Well, my friend, you never live. I tend to walk with angels, stroll through that park with demons. Hand in my pocket in case they clock and they won't stop my aim though. They try to throw that shade though, that's okay, I go with raincoats. Over my head, no halo, but over a head, that rainbow. I can't complain though, I got Drano for my pipes and strike that water under bridge with lightning. It won't fright me, I just lay low. Come back with something fatal, kill mo, I just alter angles. Life try to spite me in despite, I still invite that fighting. Stay in the ring for the good bout. Team on deck, that's a lookout. Share my meal, that's a cookout. Any man try block way, got took out. Got clear way from the hearsay. On hit talk till a year late. And by then, don't matter what's chatter in the wind forecast on a clear day. I just wanna keep my focus. Steep knowing that I won't blow this. Yeah, got doubts, but I know this. I always pull through when defeat get closest. I just wanna roll with the punches. Wanna pose and poke hole in my lungs. And if you can't accept it and forgive, well, my friend, you never live.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. And I thank you for staying with us for the hour. So last segment, we talked about how like our version of like and what we think about masculinity is changing and how we are becoming more accepting of, you know, some of these, like being more affectionate for men to one another, being more understanding for men to everyone. But we got a long way to go because we still have, you know, some idiots who think it's okay to take these very, very physical risks with your life, but very afraid to speak up emotionally. And while men are very comfortable taking these physical risks with their own lives, they are also very comfortable with making other people uncomfortable, particularly women. And when you are a white man, you can find yourself in situations where racism makes you so uncomfortable that you absolutely, stop the conversation. And to what others might feel uncomfortable and, with living under racism, you know, just talking about it makes a lot uncomfortable. And we need to change that. Like, while we need to become more comfortable with some things, we need to become less comfortable with others and make sure that, you know, we can help the world better, be better for all. And so there's one company in out of San Francisco who is trying to make life a little bit easier for everyone, and they're trying to do it in one of the most, I would say, like, this is the most not controversial but dumb and smart ideas that we've heard, let's say, in the past month, because my memory is not that good to say for the year. So there's a startup in Silicon Valley called Bodega, which wants to come out and put basically personalized vending machines in gyms and in, buildings in New York City. Now, if you aren't familiar with New York City, which, you know, a bodega is just a corner store in a neighborhood, and it might have everything you need or it might have nothing you need, all at the same time. A lot of them serve I wouldn't say fresh food, but you can get a sandwich made fresh. But this, like, there, and also there is like a I'm going to say, like, I don't know what the word is, but like there's this love and this fondness around like Bodega Cats. And so the logo is a cat. And so what they've done is they've, crazy startup, basically co-opted the name Bodega to try to attract, you know, hipsters who are, like, pretty afraid to go to an actual bodega, like the type of people who might take a picture in front of Marcy Projects with the diamond signed up, you know, so that they can post on their Instagram and their Snapchat and show off to their friends. Like, those are the type of people who I feel like would shop at Bodega and be like, ooh, I actually went to a bodega. Like, you know, probably take a picture in front of it. You know, a lot of poverty tourists. And so they are using this name, which I think really pissed people off. It was really just the name and the idea that they said they want to make corner stores obsolete. And while I don't know why, like, tech thinks they can you know, just throw money at almost anything. And it's not just tech thinks they can throw money at anything. It's only a certain particular people who can get money. Like, I watch so many of these bad ideas being pitched and so many of these bad concepts being pitched. And one of them, like, man, how did you raise $40 million? Because I know so many people with such better ideas who not only have such better ideas, but the execution is already there, who can't raise, you know, $30,000 so that they can, you know, get a new print. Listen, we know lots of people with so many ideas, so many good people who could use money, and they continue to throw millions and millions of dollars at these awful ideas. But essentially, you know, as I thought about it and I looked at the machine, I'm like, this is just a vending machine that's personalized. And I hope they don't plan on putting anything too expensive on there, because I mean, people already break vending machines to snatch the inside. So I feel like it'd just be a little more of the same. That's all we have for you this week. I would like to thank, well, this week was a special week for me because it was 1 year of me being on air as of the 12th of September. So, you know, I just wanted to shout out some people who have been listening to me from the beginning. So my mom, of course, and then my friend Lorenzo and my friend Tunji, my friend Colin, my cousin Rodney. I'd like to thank the people at Crimes and Treasons who, like Aaron, who I met at a meeting here at CNTR, who really helped me get on the air at Crimes and Treasons. And you should listen to them, like Jules, Horsepower, Rels. I don't think I'm missing anyone. And my friends who listen to me now who didn't start listening to me at the beginning, like, I thank you for sharing the page and going on there and posting things. And if you'd like to listen to any of the old podcasts, they are on Facebook.com/OffTheBeatenPath or Mixcloud.com/OffTheBeatenPath. You can listen to us on Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays from 9 to 11 playing the hottest hip-hop and R&B in Canada. Today and tomorrow are the last 2 days of my good friend's play. Today it's at Studio 16, I believe it's called. It's on West 7th. There's a show today at 5 p.m. and then tomorrow at 3 p.m., Kakoska, you should check it out. Nobody's Boy. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Jill has just started her PhD. She's at UC Berkeley, and she's not yet looking for aliens. She hasn't gotten to that stage of her life yet. She's studying brown dwarves, which are like these balls of gas out in space that are larger than planets, but